الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رأى أعرابيا ترك إبله مرسلا أي بغير عقل فقال يا رسول الله أرسل ناقتي أم أعقلها أعقلها وكما قال الأعرابي فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعقلها وتوكل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي يَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي My dear sweet brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this noble day of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our hearts. From every fiber of our being, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this Jumu'ah from us, to accept the Jumu'ah from all the Muslims all over the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the straight path, the path that leads to Him. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from today, that we make niyyah that we'll never return to any sin that we ever committed in our life. We make dua to Allah azza wa jalla to give us the path of taqwa that leads to Jannah Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear sweet brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned something very unique and very interesting in the Quran. He mentions something very unique and very interesting in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the people who are going for Hajj. When He talks about the people who are going for Hajj, He brings one of the mistakes that they used to perform, or an act that they used to commit, which was incorrect. What was the act? At the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Jahili Arabs used to, when they put on ihram, if they needed to go back home, what they would feel was it was a sin to go through their front door. They would feel it was a sin to go through their front door. So if they left something at home, because they were all coming from Mecca anyways, right? They lived in the area of Mecca. And so if they had a house there, they would say that, okay, I left something at home. So if they put on the ihram, they would find it wrong to go through the front door again. So what they would do is they would drill a hole from the back and go in and make their own passageway from the back and say that we're going to go through here. Because it's against taqwa to go through the front door. It'll be a sin for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this ayah in the Quran. He says, وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَن تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى You're missing the point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're missing the point. He said that piety is not that you decide to design a new doorway and enter from this way. Allah says, piety is that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people do this all the time too. In Hajj, we unfortunately get stuck on the things that we're doing without realizing that we're supposed to be avoiding sins. Some people are engaged in the tawaf without realizing they're shoving and pushing each other, or cursing, or slandering, or arguing, or fighting. And so they end up invalidating their hajj without even recognizing it. May Allah give us tawfiq and protect us from that. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا It's the most ajeeb part of this ayah is this part. The ulama have written so many things on this one part. It says, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا Enter the door from the front. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives them a command. He says, enter the door from the front. And if I were to tell anyone here, if you had two doors in your house, right, and your son was entering from the back door, if you tell your son not to enter from the back door, what would he do? He'll enter from the front door. If I told you don't enter from the back, automatically you understand that I have to enter from the front. There's only two ways to go in. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. He goes and says, you have to enter from the front. And so the ulama write, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave this to explain, use three or four more words in the Quran to just say, go through the front door? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching something to the Muslims in general, specifically for Hajj. For Hajj is what? People are on this high of tawakkul. They would, if a person was told not to go in from the back, they'll say, alright, tawakkalna ala Allah. If Allah doesn't let us in, we're not going to go in. Because people do that. Because our tawakkul is on that level, quote unquote. We are people who feel that I can just sit down, Allah will do everything for me. So the people of Hajj are told that you have to enter through the front. Don't rely on your tawakkul like that. The second thing Allah is teaching us from this ayah, this part of this ayah, is that there's a right way to do things. There's a proper way to get something done. Allah says, when you're entering your house, enter from the front. Just do the right way of doing it.
We learn two things from this ayah. Number one is that people who proclaim and profess and brag about their tawakkul without taking any sabab or asbab are doing the incorrect thing. We find the same exact model when Allah Ta'ala talks about the people again going for hajj. Again going for hajj, because everyone when they go for hajj has this feeling of, I can do whatever I want because Allah Ta'ala will take care of me. I can do whatever I want because Allah Ta'ala will take care of me. Allah Ta'ala, there were certain people at the time of the Prophet ﷺ going, embarking for hajj. And what did they do? They said, we're not bringing any saman, anything with us. No luggage, nothing. We're not taking anything with us. We're just going to go. We tawakkalna ala Allah, because we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we trust Allah. And so when they were going, Allah Ta'ala reveals an ayah for them. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فِنَّ غَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Prepare some provisions. Because the best provision you can have is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare your provisions. Don't be a person who doesn't take asbab. Don't be a person who doesn't take means. Don't be a person who doesn't take what's around you. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya. He created this dunya as a place of means. You have to take something in this world. You have to engage with something in this world to get something done. Allah did not just create this place so you can just say, I can sit down and do whatever I want. You know, I can just sit down and wait for Allah to do things for me. Allah has created this world. He's created this place of sabab, this place of asbab. So you take this world and you make something from it. You take this world and you make something from it. Without having yaqeen on these asbab, without having true conviction on these means. What are we talking about? When you go to sleep, you don't know if the sleep will be enough for you. You go to sleep, you don't know if the sleep will be enough for you. Who decides if the sleep will be enough for you or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in fact, many people go to bed expecting to go to sleep, but sometimes the sleep doesn't happen. Because Allah Ta'ala will decide when the sleep comes for you or not. Similarly, what we find is what? That when a person, when they take medicine, they expect that the headache to go away when they take the Tylenol. But then what happens is what? Sometimes the headache doesn't go away. Because the tawfiq is not in the medicine, it's not in the asbab that you take. The tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you and I are responsible to take the means. You are responsible to take the means. When an A'rabi, when a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid, and one riwayah, one narration mentions that he came with his camel, and he didn't park his camel, he just left it wherever. Alhamdulillah, in the Burlington Masjid, alhamdulillah, we got much better with the parking, so I'm not going to get on that right now. But the thing is what, he decided to just leave it at the doorway and didn't tie it or anything. He just walked in. And then Sahaba saw this. They told the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ goes to him. And then the Arabi has a discussion with the Prophet ﷺ. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, أُرْسِلُ نَاقَتِي. Should I just leave my camel? أَوْ أَعْقِلُهَا. Or should I tie it down? And the Prophet ﷺ says, إِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ says that you should tie it and trust Allah Ta'ala. You should tie it and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of tawakkul. Tawakkul does not mean that I leave everything and I just don't do anything with the world. Tawakkul means that I still take the world, but I know Allah Ta'ala will decide if it happens or not. That is the definition of tawakkul, that I take the means. You're not going to find any Nabi, you will not find any Prophet, you will not find even our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not find any of them except that they took the means in front of them. They always took means. The Prophet says, "What tawakkal?" That when you're tying the camel, you don't even know if you'll get the tawfiq to tie the camel down. Umar radiallahu anhu said, tawakkul is what? You throw the seed, not even know if the seed will touch the ground, but you're throwing it with trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you trust Allah ta'ala to make it grow. This is the understanding, the real understanding of tawakkul. That people are committed to this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's own actions from beginning to end were all about what? Taking means. We profess, we brag about the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the entire hijrah, the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from beginning to end was the planning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He planned to go, to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the time right before Zuhr, because that time was the hottest. He planned to cover his face so that no one could recognize him. He plans to go out the back door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's house because he knew that if people saw him going from the front, they might suspect him. The Prophet ﷺ planned for this person to come. He planned for the road to be like this. He was planning from A to Z. And the place where his planning stops, that's when Allah Ta'ala's help comes. When the planning stops, that's when the help comes. This is what we all neglect. When the Prophet ﷺ was inside the cave, at the cave of Thawr, when the Prophet ﷺ was inside the cave, and he was planning that no enemy will come and find him. He was making sure he didn't go through the conventional way of going to Makkah, from Makkah to Medina, it's just to go straight north. The Prophet ﷺ goes south because he expected that no one will suspect that. But some of them still found him. They found him in the cave of Thawr. But they were on top of the cave, so much so if they looked down, because the cave had cracks in it. So if they look down, they would see the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. This is when the planning stops, and this is when the trust in Allah Ta'ala starts. So then the Prophet ﷺ tells Abu Bakr, because Abu Bakr was so nervous, says, Ya Rasulullah, innanzuru, iyanzuru fi aqdamihim. If they look just down, they look at their feet, they'll see us. The Prophet ﷺ says, Ya Abu Bakr. He says, Abu Bakr, what do you think? Ma ba'da bisnaini Allahu thalithuhuma. What do you think about two people? Allah Ta'ala is the third. What do you think about two people? Allah Ta'ala is the third. This is the idea, this is the concept of tawakkul. When you are a person who engages in means. And this is something we do so musallam. It's so accepted when it comes to dunya. When it comes to dunya, we'll do all the means in the world. You will make sure that you invest properly. You'll make sure that if you're buying a house, you're looking at the prices, you look at everything, you analyze it. When you're buying a flight, even if you can get $20 cheaper, you'll do it. If for halal meat versus non-halal meat, sometimes we offer non-halal because it's cheaper. Waliyadu billah. We're always doing these things just to cut the budget, right? Just to lower the margin of our spending. We're doing this so much for dunya. But when it comes to deen, you tell yourself that, okay, if I sleep at 2 a.m., I'll definitely wake up for Fajr. If I sleep at 2 or 3 a.m., yeah, I'm definitely going to wake up for Fajr. You're not going to wake up for anything. You're going to wake up at 10, 11, 12, you're going to wake up at 1, you're going to wake up at a time you never even wake up normally, and then you expect Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, why didn't you wake me up? Allah Ta'ala says about mushrikeen, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَلَا نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. Allah Ta'ala says about the people who used to do shirk, they used to blame Allah Ta'ala, saying, Allah, if you didn't will for us to do shirk, we would have done it. We were the same exact way, unfortunately. We expect our deen to be ready-made and prepared for us. But everything I gave in front of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was all about deen. He made sure to prepare and plan and project and see how the deen was going to go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Khandaq, where 10,000 warriors are coming to fight him. The Jews of Medina went to Makkah and said, well, let's make a coalition, an ahzab, and let's bring all these fighters together. And we're going to go and destroy Medina. We're going to go in and kill everyone, take the women and children. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits down and makes mashwara to the sahaba. He doesn't say, tawakkalna ala Allah. He says, no, let's build a ditch. Let's build a ditch. Let's surround the city with a ditch so that way no one can come in. We'll make a huge area so that way we can fight across the ditch. We'll shoot arrows. The Prophet ﷺ never leaves it to chance like that. Because that's not tawakkul. That's just bi'adabi with Allah Ta'ala's asbab. Allah Ta'ala created this world for means. You're supposed to take it for means. And then people pretend and sit down and say, Ya Allah, I don't want to do it. That's not shukr. That's not thanks. That's not showing gratitude. We have to plan our deen the same we plan our dunya. We have to plan our deen even in a greater way than we plan our dunya. We have to plan everything about our deen. When you are planning to do something for Allah Ta'ala, you need to plan it. People say, I miss this work, I miss this khidmah, I miss this. It's because we didn't plan for it, we didn't care about it. We didn't plan to do these things. We have to make sure that when we are investing our life to do this khidmah of deen, we have to give our life totally for it. When you give your life 100% for deen, you'll find Allah Ta'ala will take care of your dunya. Every single time. I give you this as yaqeen from my side. If you do this, Allah Ta'ala will take care of you. When it comes to raising our children, and this is what I really want to stress, I want to give this point, I want to drive this point home for everyone here, is that when we're raising our kids, we often don't teach them anything of deen. We don't do any work in terms of asbab for their deen. We don't educate them about Islam. We don't teach them about Quran. We don't encourage our daughters to wear hijab. We don't encourage our sons to come to the masjid. We don't do anything for deen at all for them. And then we come back after they turn 18, 19, 20 and says, Ya Mawlana Sahab, what am I supposed to do? My kid is not coming to the masjid. What am I supposed to do when you didn't take the asbab? When Allah Ta'ala gave you the entire, when you have Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, from age 1 or age 0 all the way to like age 10, the kid is obedient to you. He listens to you, he loves you. It's psychologically speaking what? That the mother is the most beautiful woman to the son or the daughter. And the father is the most intelligent person. He's the most intelligent person. And this time, they'll come to me and debate with Mawlana Sahib saying, Mawlana, my father told me this. My mother told me this. And I can't say anything at that time. Because I know how their brains are wired. It's not going to work. Because if the father and mother told them something, that's what you're supposed to do. A kid came up to me, he said, because the Quran slipped for a second, so I picked it up and I kissed it once. He said, Mawlana, my mom told me to kiss it 3 times. You're not kissing it enough. I said that. I was like, okay, mashallah, that's good. I didn't argue with it. Respecting Quran, it's good. I don't mind that. But I said, okay, that's fine. Your mother told you to do it, you do it. Because I can't win the argument. When you have your children in your control, that's when you're supposed to do something. You have the asbab in front of you, and then we don't take it. And so this is what happens. One brother came up to me and said, oh, Shaykh, please remind the people that they have young daughters to encourage them to wear hijab. Because they wait for the daughters to wear hijab when they're 10 or 13. And then when they're 10 and 13, when it becomes fard on them, it's mandatory now to wear the hijab. They don't want to wear it because they're ashamed. So this is what happens here when we find, unfortunately speaking, that we're not people who take the asbab when it comes to deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We expect everything just be ready-made for us. You must take the means. You must struggle and strive. You must drive the point home with your children, with your family. So tarbiyah needs to be emphasized here. And you want to be very careful. We are people who like to yell and scream at our children very quickly. Very quickly, without hesitation. We need to remind ourselves if this is the right moment. Because I'm telling you, emotionally speaking, I can speak about my own experience. When I went to masjid when I was 4 years old, right, when I was younger, I saw the Qari Sahib, and you all know how the Qari Sahib used to teach. Danda Sharif is the fifth book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? Like, Allah Ta'ala will hit, that he will hit you and he will beat you, and I only remember the beatings. I don't remember anything else, because that wasn't a good experience for me. And these kids remember things that you wish they would never remember. Allahu Akbar Kabir. A kid 5 years old will remember that this so-and-so adult yelled at me. Or my father yelled at me, or slapped me, or spanked me, or hit me, or something in front of people. And I was embarrassed because of it. And then we thought we were educating or teaching our kid, but you have to project. When you're planning something, you make a 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan. You plan for decades. Similarly with your kids, you need to plan. You need to figure out what you're going to do when they're 5. You want to send them to Hifz, you want to help them memorize Quran, 6, 7. You want to make them a hafiz or not, you want to send them to a madrasa. You have to plan all these things. So you need to plan also when you decide to discipline. Because when you discipline, you have to be very careful. Am I going to emotionally scar my child for the rest of his life? Because it could happen. It could happen. And I don't mean it to offend anyone here. But what I mean is what? Be very careful when you decide to discipline. Because the punishments of Allah Ta'ala, if you realize in our life, Allah Ta'ala gives us so many ni'am. An unbelievable amount of ni'am. Our eyes are a blessing from Allah. Our ears, our tongue, our mouths, our hands, our legs. Our entire body is a blessing of Allah. Our money, our finances, our house, our car, everything. Allah pours upon blessing. وَإِنْتَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهَ لَا تُحْسُوهَا If you were to count or enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would never ever be able to do so. And then one time a punishment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you remember the punishment. You can remember it. I want you to reflect it and apply that to your children. When you decide to discipline or instruct them, project it 5, 10 years, 15 years into the future. Am I doing a benefit for them or am I harming them? We have to be very careful when we're educating our kids. And the same thing happens when we send them to school. You're sending them into a school where the environment is very bad. You expect your daughter to wear hijab when her mother never wore hijab. And then you send her to a school expecting her to wear it. Then her friends, there's no one. Maybe one girl in the school will be wearing hijab with her. And then you expected her to what? To keep it on? Because it's supposed to be like a fashion statement? It's not going to do anything. You expected your kid to not get involved in drugs or alcohol or things like that. And then we send them to these schools, expecting them to be amongst this environment where kids are smoking in the bathroom in the bus. And then you expect that things will change for my child. This is not tawakkul. This is absurdity and ignorance. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah to prepare ourselves and to plan and to project what we need to do 5-10 years. And I stress this point. That planning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started from Makkah. He goes into Medina, he has a full-fledged plan. If people are sitting in a seerah dars, the seerah dars that I'm giving now is just upon the planning of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because it was so thorough and so diligent. Because if you plan, then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. But if you fail to plan to fail. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam ajayin. For those in the mixed sunnah can do so inshaAllah. Thank you.